You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Everybody have your Bibles?
Yes.
Turn with me to Mark, the second chapter. We've been teaching on the ministry of Jesus, just what he was about and what he did. And boy, that's exhaustive. I mean, we could just go forever on that. We're just going to have to hit it for a while and then just change the subject. You never go wrong preaching on Jesus. Amen.
Right. Amen.
But we've been ministering along the lines of how that Jesus didn't just teach. He didn't just preach. He also healed. In fact, Matthew 4:23 tells us he taught in their synagogues. He preached in their villages and he healed all manner of sickness and disease among the people. He repeats that in Matthew 9:35 and says basically the same thing. He said he taught in their synagogues, preached in their villages, and he healed all manner of sickness and disease among the people. Then we know over there in Luke, the 5th chapter, these are verses that we went over, I'm kind of reviewing here. Luke, the 5th chapter, the 15th verse says, when they heard of the fame of Jesus, they came to hear him and to be healed of him. So people, when they came to Jesus, just as you are today coming to church, we come with the intent of hearing what he has to say and receiving help from him. I mean, they believe that Jesus would heal them. Now, sadly, in many churches, that's not taught, and we're not against churches. We're for churches, and we're not blasting churches. Thank God for churches. I just got through praising many churches in our community. But that being said, we have to be honest and say, you know, we ought to come to church with expectancy. We ought to come knowing that Jesus is a full-service Jesus. Hallelujah. He's Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. I got one that's right on that. I think somebody nodded their head. I heard something rattling. Are you with me? Jesus is Lord of all.
Amen.
He's not just the one that'll save us, spiritually speaking, for heaven's sake and forgive our sins, but he also is a healer of our diseases. He's still in the miracle-working business. I tell you, life's full of miracles. It's full of healings. And we need those healings and we need those miracles to fully represent him. Churches should be full of miracles. We ought to hear testimonies of healings and miraculous events that take place and so on and so forth. Why? Because God's alive. He's not dead. He's not somebody we're just going to go see one day. He's very active in our lives today. He's very, very much alive, very much active in my life, my marriage, and my body, and my finances, and my children. He's very active. I can call on him and he shows up. Hallelujah. And so when you follow Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's what you see. You see a living, vibrant, miracle-working, healing Jesus. He didn't just teach. He didn't just preach. I mean, he was very involved in the miraculous. And not only that, but he sent his disciples out to do the same thing. Not only that, but he sent the church out to do the same thing, Mark the 16th chapter. And you follow into the book of Acts after the resurrection, you see miracles after miracles taking place. The power of Pentecost coming down in Acts 2 where they're all filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then right in the 3rd chapter, there's a man that was healed at the Gate Beautiful, crippled from birth. And he was healed, and it was a miracle they all saw. The city was amazed and wondered at it. And all through Acts, you see miracle after miracle, healing after healing, along with the preaching of the gospel. In other words, it just goes as part and parcel. It goes hand in foot with it, I guess you'd say. Brother Osteen used to always say about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and evidence by speaking with other tongues. And he says, well, you mean, people ask you, you mean if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you speak with other tongues? Yeah, not to be saved, but if you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, you do speak in tongues. He says, it's kind of like a shoe. The tongue comes with it. Anyway, it's good. You want the shoe, the tongue comes with it. So, but miracles should be a part of church. It should be a part of what we preach. It should be a part of what we teach. This Jesus is not another Jesus. He's the same one that we read about here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changed. You may be thinking, well, I remember praying for healing, didn't get it. Well, you know, I know people I've witnessed who didn't get saved. But I know he's still a Savior. Well, if he's a healer, why don't you go to the hospital and clean out the hospitals? Well, if he's a Savior, why don't you go to the jail and clean out the jails? Some are going to receive, some are not. Are you with me? But it doesn't change the fact that he is who he is. It doesn't change the fact that God's Word defines for us what is truth. Truth's not really defined by experience. It's defined by God's Word. And since the Word's true, there should be miracles. Since the Word's true, there should be healings. You don't always get what you pray for. I don't either, but that's not God's fault. That's mine. Or the world we live in or something going on. Don't condemn yourself or beat yourself over the head. Just go back to the drawing board, the Bible, and just keep praying. And hey, just hang in there. Some things take longer than others. I don't understand that. But if we'll start counting up those miracles, counting up those answered prayers, he's been doing a whole lot more than you give him credit for. He's done a whole lot more than we often realize. Now, I think of Travis and what a long ongoing thing this has been. But I will tell you what, Travis right now is a miracle of God. Right now he is a miracle. He should not even be alive by all accounts in the natural. Years ago he should never have made it. He's had miracle after miracle after, and God's going to do it again. God's going to do it again. We're not letting go. Hello. Actually, big victory comes from an accumulation of small victories sustained over a long period of time. You just keep building on those miracles, building on those answered prayers, building on that service to God, holy living as it were, whatever. You keep it up, you keep it up, and one day you'll stop and look back, and my, you'll be in the middle of a midst of a great, huge miracle that didn't happen overnight, but it was accumulation of hanging in there and staying the course. And continue to serve God, continue to pray. And you have just stacked up so many miracles. I look at our church and where we are today. This didn't happen overnight. This is our 26th year. A lot of people look at us and say, hey, you're an overnight success out there. Yeah, it's a long night. But you know, we didn't quit. Are you with me? We went through some tough times, but we just kept going. Hallelujah. And we just let what God did build. Because we didn't throw in the towel. We didn't turn around and quit. We let what he did build, and year by year, and year by year, and year by year, it got higher and higher and higher, and here we are. Hallelujah. Yeah. Woo, we're picking high cotton now. I've been through years we pick low cotton. I've been through years we pick no cotton. High cotton's better. Hallelujah. Mark 2, found it? So if you look at Jesus, if you follow him, if you get into the scripture, you're going to find a Jesus that is very much alive and very active in the world today. Hallelujah. Second chapter, first verse. You ready? Let's read this. And again he entered Capernaum. Everybody say again. Okay, so he must have been there before. He entered Capernaum. You didn't know that, did you? Isn't that amazing? I brought that out and you just, wow. That's that gift I have teaching. And again, come on, stay with me now and then pay attention. Again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Everybody said it was heard. Now, see, this is a common thing. You follow through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all through there you'll find out people heard about Jesus, or his fame went out throughout the land. Or when they heard of Jesus, Mark the 5th chapter talks about the woman with the issue of blood. It says when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press and touched the hem of his garment. For she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. And virtue or power came out of him and into her, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her plague. Now think about it. She heard something about Jesus. And obviously what she heard was that he was a healer. And so when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press and touched the hem of his garment. Now, she heard that Jesus was a healer. Amen? She heard he was a healer. She didn't hear that he didn't heal. She heard he did heal. So much so that she came for the intent and purpose of being healed. That's what Luke 5:15 tells us. When the fame of him went out, they came to hear him and to be healed. Getting quiet in here. Just making a point here. And so that when you think of it that way, what was Jesus known for? Well, he was known for forgiving people, sure. He was known for preaching the good news, no question. He was known for having God visiting us through him. But he was known for the miraculous. He was known for healings. Churches should be a place of healing. Should be a place where you get prayed for. I love what Fran shared, you know, about our prayer chain. And we prayed, hallelujah, and a miracle took place. Notice the outcome. The outcome was a miracle. And not just the miracle of healing that took place, but also the glorification of God. God was glorified by that. Are you with me? Jesus was made known through that. And many times we are. We get calls from other people, from other churches that want us to pray because they know we're going to pray. Mm-hmm. They know we're going to believe God. We're going to trust God. We're going to believe for a miracle. Amen? And so that's a good thing. That's the right kind of report about Jesus. That should be what we're reporting about him, what we're saying about him. So it says here, it was heard that he was in the house. Jesus is in the house. Second verse, immediately many gathered together. Wow. They couldn't wait to get to church. So there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God he preached the word. Amen. But it was so crowded, they couldn't even get in the door. That was the full house. Are you with me? Standing outside, trying to get in. You know, I've ministered like that. In fact, I ministered in Mexico one time. We preached, and we ministered actually in a rented building. And then we ministered in a home, a large home in an area that they didn't have any buildings. And there were so many people there, they were looking in the windows. I've seen that happen. Where they're standing outside looking in the windows and had the door open, standing outside because there's just so many people in the house. Well, this is Jesus preaching, and the house was full like that. And then it says, third verse, then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. Now, this is interesting. Why would they bring the sick man to hear Jesus preach? They heard. They heard he was a healer.
Amen.
Amen. They came to be healed. That's what they came for. They heard. When they heard, it was heard that he was in the house. Second chapter, first verse. So they must have heard about it, and they said, hey, let's go get our buddy, Pete the paralytic. Well, I don't know what his name was, but anyway, let's get him down there. Jesus will heal him. Jesus is a healer. Then they came to him. I love that too. They came to him. They came to him. They came to him. Well, I wish Jesus would come to my house. Well, why don't you come to his house? Ooh, I wish he'd reach down and touch me. Why don't you reach up and touch him?
Amen.
The woman with the issue of blood said, if I could just touch him. She didn't say if he could just touch me.
Right.
She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. A couple things going on there. She realized that she needed to make a move, and she also realized that he was touchable.
Amen.
Don't you think he's not reachable? He is. Don't you think he's not touchable? He is. And you know what? You may be waiting for a touch from God. He's waiting for a touch from you.
That's right.
You may be waiting for him to speak to you. You know what? He's waiting for you to speak to him.
Right.
Waiting for you to call. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ask, Jesus said, and you shall receive. Knock, and the door will be open. Are you with me? Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be open. You take the initiative. Skipped the letter there, didn't I? Okay. I had to look at Amanda, because if I ever miss a scripture, she's going to tell me after the service. So, all right, so you ask, you seek, you knock. It's your initiative. You call, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, what Jesus said. So here you see miracle after miracle, and what we see, it's not so much Jesus going to heal people. He basically show up, and they would come to him to get healed. Y'all out there? Okay, you fooled me. Third verse, then they came. They came to him. They came to him. Bringing, oh, I like that. Everybody say bringing. Okay, they didn't come by themselves. They brought some people. I could preach on that too. But you ought to bring somebody from time to time. You ever know somebody that you need to bring? Some people you need to bring. I mean, you need to bring them. You need to bring them. They need to be brought. Some people need to be brought. Some people are not going to come until you bring them. Okay. They came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. Thank God for friends like that. Four friends stuck by their friend. They wanted to help their friend. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, in other words, it was a crowded house. They couldn't, you know, not even so much at the door, it says. They were just packed in there. And it says, when they could not come to him because of the crowd. Now, this is fascinating to me, and I've joked about this many times, but oftentimes, you know, when there's something good going on, it's packed out or too many people there, we just go home. Or we'll decide we'll come back another night, you know. And most people would look at that and say, I wonder if Jesus is going to be here tomorrow night. Is this going to be a three-day revival? Because it's just too crowded in there. I'm not going to go. But these guys would not be denied. They knew Jesus could be reached even in a crowd. So did that woman with the issue of blood, incidentally, because she came through the press. In fact, when she touched Jesus and healing came out of him into her. Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "Lord, who touched you? The whole multitude throngs or touches you." But somebody touched him in the faith. That's a different kind of touch. Faith can get through the crowd. Faith can get to the head of the line, see? Faith will press through. Faith will reach Jesus seemingly when he seems to be unreachable. Faith will reach him. It will always touch him. And it will always receive from him. So it says here, when they could not come near him because of the crowd, Well, you know, that would have been easy to walk away. You know, I'd like to get to Jesus, but everybody's keeping me away from him. I'd like to go to church. The last church I went to, they did this and they did that and they did. I said I wasn't going back. Well, that last preacher, you know, it's always somebody else's fault, isn't it? Had a bad experience with a preacher, had a bad experience with a church, or had a bad experience with a Christian. Oh, I knew somebody said they were a Christian. They did this, and I thought, if that's the way it is, I don't want anything of that. I don't want anything to do with that. But see, you've got to get around all that, and you've got to get to Jesus. Amen. If you're really hungry and you're really determined, then you will get around all that. You'll get through the crowd. You'll get to Jesus. Because God does satisfy the hungry soul. And he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. If you're determined enough, there's nothing going to be able to stop you. Nobody's going to be able to stop you. No crowd can keep you from Jesus if you're determined to get to him. Well, I was raised this way or raised that. I don't care how you were raised. If you're determined, you can get out of that mess and you can get to Jesus. Well, I got these circumstances and those circumstances and you don't know. Nobody knows the trouble I see. You know, you start playing the blame game and the victim and this and victim of that. And it's everybody else's fault. Oh, come on. Get over it. Get to Jesus. You can get to Jesus. It's not your mama's fault. It's not your daddy's fault. Not your wife or your husband's fault, or your mother-in-law's fault, or your daddy-in-law, or your son, or your job, or your business, or the social status that you were born in, or race, or whatever the case may be. God is no respecter of persons. And seemingly there may be a crowd, but you can still get to him. Oh, hallelujah. That's better preaching. Y'all are amen. And the more y'all start amen, the quicker you'll get out. So. I leave this service in your hands. So it says here, fourth verse, when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. Wow. So when they had broken through, so you just got to keep coming until you have a breakthrough. I just can't seem to break through. Well, don't quit now. You keep coming until you get a breakthrough. You keep tearing around, picking around. You try to get to him. You just don't give up. You keep coming. You will have a breakthrough. And you have a breakthrough, you'll get a front row seat. Because that's what happened. It says when they couldn't get there because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Now, can you imagine Jesus preaching a sermon? First of all, he's kind of spitting and sputtering because there's stuff coming in his face and eyes from the roof. Stand back out of the way trying to preach. And here comes this bed being let down with a rope. Now you'd think, you know, Jesus would be rattled by this. But Jesus is just not rattled real easy. You'd think he'd say, "Ushers, y'all take care of this. This is getting completely out of hand. I'm trying to preach here." But see, in this case, people were trying to get to him. He was all about that. And he watched them come down. In fact, it says Jesus seeing their faith. I love that. Everybody say faith. Faith. See, faith's recognizable. You say, what was recognizable about it? Faith, at all cost, determines to get to Jesus. Jesus, they hadn't said anything yet, but he saw their action. He saw their passion. He saw their will, their determination to get to him. We're going to do this. We're going to get to Jesus. We're going to get our miracle. We're not going to be denied. We're not going to give up. We're not going to quit. We're not going to stop. I don't care how bad it looks or how impossible it seems. We're going to get to Jesus. See, that just smelled of faith. That reeked with faith. That looked like faith. That's what faith is. Faith is a determination. Faith is a focus. It's focusing in on Jesus and not giving up and not letting go. and not letting anything stop us, and not making excuses and not saying why, and not saying, oh, I'll never be. Faith just continues on course, stays on course, stays on track, and doesn't quit till it gets what God promises. And he saw that. He saw that in them. He saw that determination. And it says, Jesus seeing their faith, not just this man's faith, but his friend's faith. They're all in this thing together. There were five people believing here for this. The four letting them down and the man that let them bring him. Jesus saw their faith and he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Well, that's a good start. Praise God, your sins are forgiven. One translation says, be of good cheer. One account, Matthew, I think, where it says, be of good cheer. We ought to cheer up. If you've got faith, cheer up. Amen. If you're determined not to let go, cheer up. You ought to be cheerful if you're believing God. If you're not believing God, you can't be. But if you are, you can be and should be. So he said, son, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes are sitting there, religious people, reasoning in their hearts, their minds. That's where you always get in trouble, is trying to reason in your mind when God plainly says something. Don't ever put a question mark where God puts a period. Reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God only? Well, Jesus was God. They didn't recognize that. And he says, your sins be forgiven you. And notice this. But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Why don't you just believe? Why are you trying to figure everything out? Why don't you just believe? You know, Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made by things which do appear. You might just back up that first part and say it this way. Through faith we understand. Not through understanding we believe. Through faith we understand. We take it on good authority. God's smarter than we are. He knows what he's talking about. We've been around a long time. We've known God. We've seen him work. If he says something, it's true. Maybe I don't have it all together, but I believe in God. Just like you go to a class and you sit in a class, college, whatever the case may be. Teachers make statements out of books. You've never been those places. You've never seen those events, but you take it on good authority. Most everything you believe or know is based on authority. Y'all remember the Alamo? Okay, you weren't there. Nobody remembers the Alamo. What are you talking about? But we take it on good authority it took place. We take it on good authority what happened there. No reason not to believe it. But see, you can't have five senses involved in that process because you can't go back in time. So you take it on good authority. Most all that you know, you take on good authority. Well, that went over a bunch of you, but anyway. They took it on good authority instead of reasoning. These scribes, they reasoned instead of taking it on good authority. You know the difference? The paralytic got healed. They didn't. The difference was one got a miracle and the rest of them didn't get one. Woo! I don't want to be in that crowd of not getting one. I want to be in the getting crowd. Not the not getting crowd. So, Jesus says, 8th verse, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? 9th verse, which is easier? Boy, this is good. I love this verse. This is one of my favorite verses. I have several of them. It's one of my favorite books. I have 66 favorite books. This is one of them. Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? I think that's an indictment on many of us. I think it's easier for us to say we are forgiven than it is to say we're healed. I think in a lot of cases it's easier to pray for forgiveness than it is to pray for healing, and it shouldn't be that way. In fact, it doesn't really matter to God. One's just as easy as the other. But the way we've been taught, or through our senses, we feel the pain, so that negates somehow the God's word because we feel the pain, or we hear the doctor's report, and for some reason that just does away with what God says. But see, that's not true. Although the doctor is reporting what they see and what they've found out in the natural, we know something here, a higher law that will overcome that. Spiritual law, healing, is greater than the natural. See, and faith reveals to us what our senses don't reveal to us. You know, Blaise Pascal says faith was not opposed to our senses, it was just above them. It just saw things our senses don't see. We feel the pain, we can't feel the healing, but faith detects it. Faith knows it's there. And so faith begins to talk it and walk it. If we walk by faith and not by sight, we come in contact with the healing. And they kept coming. They took the roof off and they let him down. They were going to their healing. They had sensed healing. They had heard of Jesus, the healer, the miracle worker. This is Jesus' ministry. He was a healing Jesus. Let me tell you something. He still is a healing Jesus. He's still a miracle working Jesus. You say, well, I know he forgives my sins, but let me tell you something. He doesn't just forgive sins. He also heals diseases.
That's right.
Well, I understand him forgiving. That's just easy. But it's no easier or harder. It's the same with God to heal or to forgive.
Amen.
And we ought to be just as quick to say, I'm healed as I am forgiven. Or, Lord, forgive me, as quick as we would say, Lord, heal me. We shouldn't hesitate. We shouldn't back up. We shouldn't wonder if it's his will. No, it is his will. He does want you forgiven. He does want you healed.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Amen.
Many times when you pray for healing or forgiveness, you don't always feel like it, but you know what the word says. Sometimes you carry the guilt and the shame of it, the feeling of it, the condemnation of it, but you know you're forgiven. You don't pay attention to those feelings. God said you're forgiven. You're forgiven. You might pray for healing and carry the symptoms of it or maybe the pain of it, but don't give up. You just keep standing on the word. That'll finally pass away, and it will be evident, just like forgiveness sometimes is not evident, but you know it's true because God said so, and you just keep saying it. You can start thinking of sins that you committed. You've asked God to forgive you for 1,000 times, and all of a sudden that guilt and condemnation will come back up on you. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Those are like symptoms of unforgiveness. But don't pay attention to those. You know good and well what God says is true, and you are forgiven. You might feel pain and you believe for a healing. Just keep believing. Just keep standing on the word. Don't give up.
Amen.
Be determined. Have a focus about you. Have a determination about you. Faith is a focus. Amen?
Amen.
This Jesus is a healing Jesus. And he is a forgiving Jesus. It says this. Which is easier? Well, that's a rhetorical question. Obviously, the answer was one's as easy as the other. Isn't that right? I mean, that's what he's saying. Which is easier? Well, I don't know about all those miracles. I know I'm forgiven. But this thing I'm facing here. Oh, now wait a minute. We're talking about God. Which is easier? It's all the same with God. See, God's never stopped doing miracles. We just stopped believing. He's never stopped healing. We just stopped calling and believing and crying out for it. You say, well, I don't hear that a lot. Well, there you go. We don't hear that a lot. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And if we don't hear it enough, we're not going to build our faith for it.
Right.
See, that's why if we're not careful in church, that all we do is preach one side of Jesus, we miss out on another side of him. If we just preach he's just a forgiver, he's just a savior in that respect, he'll just take you out of your sin, take you to heaven. You know what? We'll get that result. And that's good. But that's still not all of Jesus. Jesus is more than just that. He healed diseases and did miracles, signs and wonders. Sent his disciples out to do the same thing and sent the church out to do the same thing too. Thank God he's a healer.
Amen.
Thank God he's a miracle worker. Thank God he's the Lord God. He changes not.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. In other words, he doesn't need to change, and thank God he didn't. When you're as good as God is, you can't change anyway. If you change, you'd have to get worse because he can't get better. So, he's the Lord God, changes not. Amen. So it says, are y'all getting something out of this? Okay. So it says here, Jesus speaking, your sins are forgiven you. What's easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk. I love that. What's easier to say? Everybody say, I'm forgiven. Do you believe that?
Yes.
You believe you're forgiven? That Jesus has washed you in his blood? You believe that? All right, let's say this. Say, I'm healed. Do you believe that?
Yes.
By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. That's what 1 Peter 2:24 says. Now, which one's easier? It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be any problem one or the other. But in our mind, in our culture, with our teaching sometimes, we have a little trouble sometimes with one as opposed to the other. It's a little more of a challenge. It's kind of harder to say. And you know what? It shouldn't be. It should not be that hard of a challenge for us. It should be the same with God. We should be as quick to pray for someone to be forgiven as we would to be healed. And we do that here. I know we do that. But you should be the same way. When you hear a report about something, you ought to be quick to pray and believe with them. Because Jesus, he's just as powerful. He's the same. He hadn't changed. Amen? Okay. Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? Listen to this closely. 10th verse. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. That was a different church service for them. But see, they had a different preacher in this church service. And this preacher was Jesus. And when he had church, he had miracles. Yeah. When he had church, he prayed for the sick. You know, just like we did here today. We prayed for people to be healed. And you know what? We believe they're healed. We prayed for prayer request cards, people that weren't here. That's okay. Jesus prayed for the centurion's servant in Matthew 8. He wasn't there either. But when the centurion got home, his servant was healed. So he wasn't bound by distance, you know. And God's ear's not deaf and his arm's not short that he can't heal if we're praying for someone that's not here. But this Jesus is a miracle-working Jesus. Now, this was a proof. Everybody say a proof. That he had the ability to forgive sins. He said, well, see, there they needed that, and Jesus did that when he walked the earth, but he's not here now, so we don't need that proof. He did that to establish the fact that he was the Son of God, and they needed that. Oh, yeah, like everybody in the world now is convinced he's the Son of God. What? I mean, everybody's saved, right? Everybody in the world is saved now, and we don't need that now, do we? Listen, if miracles was proof that he was a forgiver, and it was something that Jesus used to prove that he was from God. And listen to this. When he sent the disciples out, he told them to pray for the sick. He said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. In other words, that was the validation. That was the proof. That was the approval or the bearing witness of the truth. Don't we need something to bear witness to the truth today? Now, this is the truth, but shouldn't there be manifestations? Sure there will. There should be manifestations. Manifestations don't prove the truth in that sense, but if it is the truth, there will be manifestations. They confirm it in the sense they confirm what was said. And so when Jesus healed that man, that proved that he was a forgiver. You know, I'll tell you what, this will get more people saved, not less. It'll get more people forgiven, not less. Miracle signs and wonders go hand in hand with the gospel. They're a part of the gospel. Think about this in Mark 16 chapter. You don't have to turn there. But in Mark 16 chapter, Jesus said this. He said, these signs will follow them that believe. He said, in my name they will cast out devils, speak with new tongues, and take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I don't have time to take all that apart. But anyway, in my name they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Believers will do that. Everybody say believers. Well, that'd be us, that'd be you, that'd be me. All of us are believers, and these signs should follow those that believe. The Bible goes on to say that he was taken up before them, went up into heaven. And it says, then they went everywhere preaching, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Everybody say confirming the word. Okay. So God actually confirmed what they preached with signs following. Isn't that good? So miracles, far from taking away from the message, actually confirmed the message. And the healing of this man actually proved that he had the right to forgive his sins. Because they questioned that. They said, who is this man that speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God only? He said, well, if you didn't like that, you're not going to like what I'm going to do next. And then he healed the man. And he said this, that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, I say to you, take up your bed and walk. And so that was a confirmation that he had the ability to forgive sins. Acts, the 2nd chapter, 22nd verse, Peter's preaching, and he talks about Jesus, and he says this. He said, Jesus, a man approved of God by signs and wonders, which God did by him. Everybody say approved. Okay, so miracles in that case approved the man. They were like credentials. They were like validations. In other words, he came on the scene and that was his ID. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to have some ID here. You ever had that? I'm sorry, we need to see some ID. You know, when you go to Starbucks and you get something, you pay for it with your credit card. I'm trying to relate. They want some ID, or you go to Walmart. If it's enough, you know, if it's too much, they want ID. Well, Jesus had some ID. His credentials were his miracles. He even said, if you don't believe me, believe the works. He said, if I don't do the work of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do the work, if you don't believe me, believe the works. Because they testify of me that I am from God. So we have him approved with mighty signs and wonders there in Acts 2:22. And in Mark 16 chapter, we see that God confirmed the word with signs following. And you know, in Hebrews, the second chapter, when it talks about the apostles, it says they went out and preached this gospel. And it says God bore witness to them. God bore witness with signs and wonders. Everybody say, bear witness. Okay. So signs bear witness. Signs confirm the word. Signs approve of it. Now, a good question would be, and a lot of that was now after the resurrection. Now, we're talking about the apostles even. And Jesus talking to the church about confirming the word, you know, there in Mark 16 chapter. A good question would be today, do we need anything to bear witness to the truth? Do we need anything to confirm the truth? Do we need anything to approve the truth? Well, if Jesus needed it, and the apostles needed it, and the early church needed it, where do we all of a sudden get to the point we don't need it? I want to tell you, this separates us from Buddhist. This separates us from the Muslim world. This separates us from the Hindu world. Miracles are very exclusive to Christianity. Did you know that? They don't have miracles in the Muslim faith. They don't lay hands on the sick and get healed in the Islamic world. Buddhists don't believe in healing. They don't have healing. They don't have miracles. It is in Christianity that we have miracles. The whole thing started in a miracle, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He raised from the dead. Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
Amen. So this whole thing's based on miracles, signs, wonders, healings. And we need them. More of them, not less of them. Because what they do, they put God's stamp on it. They put it, that's like our ID. This, we're pulling out our ID. It says, well, we're from God. And what we're saying is from God. Because just look at the miracles. Woo! Hallelujah.